Please be seated in the presence of the Lord.
We are in the presence of the Lord.
Psalm 63, and in verse 1, all the way to verse 2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. My right hand upholdeth thee. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus Christ. Speaking quickly on the subject of practical dedication to God. This is part 2. Practical dedication to God. And our objective is the same. Understanding what it entails to be practically dedicated to God. In the first service, we had a very, very intense message. And for the sake of time, I may not be able to go through that message at all. I would like you to just pick it like you've been instructed and advised, actually. But we said that the subject of dedication to God is a very critical subject in the life of the child of God. I gave 4 reasons in the first service, or 4 things to think about. And I'll give another 4 in this service. So this service, number 1. That the subject of dedication to God is critical. And it's important to note the following. First, the vibrancy of your dedication to God determines the buoyancy of your destiny. The vibrancy of your dedication to God determines the buoyancy of your destiny. How vibrant you are in your dedication to God will determine how buoyant your destiny ends up to be. If you ask Abraham, he will tell you. Number 2, your regard for God determines his response to you. How much you regard God determines to what extent he will respond to you. Another way to say it is, your value for God determines your profit in God. Many of us do not profit in God to the same degree. Your value for God determines your profit in God. If you don't value God like I value God, you won't profit in God like I profit in God. Thirdly, the place you give to God in your life determines the place God gives to you in his plan. The place you give to God in your life determines the place God gives to you in his plan. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has an agenda. The place you give to God in your life determines the place God gives to you in his plan. There are so many people who are not in the plan of God at all because God has no place in their lives at all. Finally, when your life revolves around God, good will revolve around your life. When your life revolves around God, good will revolve around your life. For scripture said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, if your destiny must be buoyant, your dedication must be vibrant. If you must see the response of God, you must have regard for God. If you must have a place in the plan of God, God must have his place in your life. And if you want good to revolve around your life, then your life must revolve around God. Now let us go. What is the practicality of dedication? How can somebody say, I am dedicated to God practically? Again, I'm going to share three other points separate from what I did in the first service. And you would look at that. First, we said, in the first service, we talk about standing on the side of God in all things means dedication. And then we talked about placing God first in all things. Standing on the side of God, placing God first in all things. And then thirdly, we talked about commitment to God against all odds. Standing on the side of God, placing God first, commitment to God against all odds. Now, in this service, we shall look at first. Practicality of dedication means first, following hard after God. Following hard after God. Following hard after God. The psalmist said, my soul followeth hard. Psalm 63 verse 8. And what is the meaning of following hard after God? Number one, it means following God wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. Following God wholeheartedly. Like Mark said in Mark chapter 12 and in verse 29, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. There are many people following God, but not many are following wholeheartedly. There are many following half-heartedly. Number two. It means following God closely, not following from a distance. There are people who follow God from a distance. They are not following closely. It is giving God a close marking. You see how the challenge that Peter had when during the persecution of Jesus, Peter followed from a distance. In Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 58, the Bible said, Peter followed him from afar. Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace. In Mark 14:54, Peter followed afar off. Truth of the matter is, compromise is easy when people follow from a distance. Backsliding is easy when people follow God from a distance. Careless living is easy when people follow God from a distance. Following hard after God means following closely. Number three, it means following passionately, actively, not following passively. Following passionately, following actively. There are people in church for 20 years and there is no passion. You can't trace one fire in them. There is nothing. They have not made no difference in their followership of God. In church, in their community. It is following passionately. Following actively. Not following passively. Somebody told my peer the other day at the secretary. He said, what you see the pastor doing now, he was doing it right from the university on the campus days. He will preach to you inside the taxi and pay your fare and pay your taxi fare. He will pay. There are many people who happened today and we don't know where they are coming from. But there are those whose stories and histories can be traced. It is following passionately. Every devil knows you are following God. Every witch knows you are following God. Those who love you know you are following God. Those who hate you know. I don't like that man, but he's a genuine Christian. It's following passionately. I'm following passively. I was the president of the Medical Students Fellowship. It was called Nigerian Conference of Christian Medical and Dental Students. I was president in my university and then national president. It is now called Christian Medical and Dental Association, the student union body. I met a neurosurgeon, practice in Ibadan, neuroplastic surgeon. He said that the fire you dropped on us in the university in those days, he said that fire, I am walking it with it in practice. I've met young medical doctors. They say, we didn't meet you in school. We came into the university 12 years later. 15 years later, but we heard of the fire. And we heard of the fire. And the fire is still working with us today. Am I communicating at all? It is following God. Until the devil knows you are following. Following passionately. Following actively. Not following passively. I have some people who claim that, for example, their spiritual sons or daughters, I'm talking about pastors in ministry, who said, this is my father in the Lord. There are those who are following and you know. If you ask my father in the Lord, he will tell you. A few days ago, I was asking him a certain question. I wanted to take an action that is related, connected with himself. After we finished talking, he said, and now asked me to check out on somebody else, just to check out on somebody spiritually and assess the person and see how he's doing. He said, if at this stage of your life, you are still asking questions. That's what he told me. If at this stage of your life, you are still asking questions, then how much more people like that? Am I communicating? On the contrary, someone called me, I think a few days ago, and he said, somebody who claims to be a spiritual child is in need and in need of resources, financial resources, because he's in need. I said, who is there? When he mentioned him, I said, I have not seen him or heard from him in the last 16 years. Yes. What a prodigal. That is, you know, father, when you need money. There are people who operate with God like that. He is their heavenly banker, not heavenly father. Are you following what I'm saying here today? If you, there is no way you will follow God and God will not, God will know. The devil will know. The powers of darkness will know that this man is not, this man is not faking it. Following God passionately, actively, not passively. Number four, it means following God aggressively and violently. Following hard. What do I mean by aggressively and violently? It means you are letting nothing and nobody come between you and God. Nothing. You know, how many of you have ever seen an escort vehicle moving before? And then another vehicle is trying to come in between them. You know what happens? All right. They are in a convoy, and maybe the back vehicle slowed down because of something. And then a vehicle came in between the entrance. That, in some quarters, it's a total abomination. Because they may think that this guy is a criminal or he has an intention. So this vehicle that is meant to be on the line will now move like this. And just move here and block. Stop, my friend. And don't move back in line. It's a close marking. It's a hard followership. Following hard after God means no devil can come between me and my God. No human being can come between me and my God. Not even a work, not a job, not an employment. You are in relationship with somebody. You have not married yet. But you are hearing the way he's talking. And you are perceiving that by the time you marry this person, he's going to block your connection with God to hell. Go to wherever you want to go. I can survive without you, but I can't survive without God. Following hard after God. I can be a friend with you for as long as you are not coming between me and my God. I can have a relationship with you. But the moment you begin to toy or make a mockery or look down or jest about my relationship with God, by that, at that time I have discarded you longest time. I offload you as a cargo from my vehicle of destiny. It's following aggressively. I'm following violently after God. Am I communicating? It's a tenacious followership. It's a magnetic followership. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of his walls, the elusive dreams. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. There's nothing between my soul and my Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. That is an old ancient SU song. Keep the way clear. Let nothing come between me and my God. My soul followeth hard after God. That is what it means. It is a back-to-back, bumper-to-bumper. Nothing in between. Not work, not friend, not wife, not husband, not nothing. Number five, it means following urgently. Say it like this, following God with a sense of urgency. You are not dragging feet. You don't drag feet to church. You don't drag feet to do the things you need to do. You don't drag your feet. They don't beg you to come to church. They don't beg you to do this or that. With a sense of urgency, my soul followeth hard after God. And like God's servant Bishop Oyedepo said, God told him, the harder you follow me, the higher you fly in life. If you want to fly high, follow hard. You want to fly high in life, follow hard. A sense of urgency. Timeously. Do the things that must be done for God with God on time. You follow hard after God. That is practical dedication, number one, for this service, or number four overall. Number two is dedication practically is living for God. Living for Christ. Living for God. Living for Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. And gave himself for me. We used to sing this song. I live for Jesus. Day after day. I live for Jesus. Let come what may. The Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus. Day after day. Somebody sing it with me. I live for Jesus, day after day. I live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit. I will obey. I live for Jesus, day after day. Dedicated people, they live for God. They live for Christ. What does it mean? Number one, it means deciding that life is not worth living if it is not lived for God. I have one life to live, and this one life is not worth living if it is not lived for God. It's a decision. I can't live for fashion. I can't live for entertainment. I can't live for pleasure. I can't live for job. I tell some people, I said, by the time you spent all your life jobbing from morning till night, and you have no plan for God inside this jobbing, and you die and go to heaven, what will you tell God that you did with your life? It is alright if the job includes your assignment. If souls are being won in your line of duty. If the resources you are conquering is used to conquer souls. But if all you did was to face yourself, what will you tell God when you meet him? Deciding that life is not worth living if it is not lived for God. Secondly, it means making God the reason you
you live, walk, earn, and do the things you do. Making God the reason why you live, walk, earn, and do the things you do with your life. The reason why you live, why you sleep, why you wake up. Find the reason. Involve God in the reason why you walk. I am going to walk to release potentials, to glorify God that this is a child of God. I will conquer resources that will help me to serve God without distraction, so that lack does not take my focus from God. And then I'll portions of the resources used to facilitate the spread of the kingdom, and so on and so forth. Driving a good car cannot be the reason for life. Living in a good house cannot be the reason for life. Because life does not end in this world. As you see me, so size of house does not move me. You understand? That pigeon doesn't move me. Whether it is. I heard that one of the most expensive houses that was ever built. I came across two of them recently. One is the house. One of those houses is in Maiduguri. It was built at the cost of about $100 million of 1986. Yes. It was once a tourist center where the Queen went to visit and other such people went to visit. The man built it, just him. He lived for 12 years inside and he died. He lived with his wife, only with his just one wife and daughter. The house now is a habitation for snakes, and it's also for sightseeing. It's like a museum now. Gold, raw gold is there in the house. It was the most expensive house in Africa then. With $100 million of 1986 will be like $100 billion now, isn't it? The second one is the house of Mobutu Sese Seko, Democratic Republic of Congo. It has an airport inside. It has everything inside. But that house means nothing now. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul? It is not wrong to have good things, but don't let good things have you. It is not bad to have money, but never allow money to have you. It is not bad to have the good things, but don't let the good things separate you from your maker and render you useless on the earth. Render you useless on the earth. Don't. One of the air vehicles that God will help us to function with in time to come will be the one that you can land inside the middle of the jungle, bush. That, to me, is very functional. So that 1 hour, 35 minutes, or whatever, you have landed somewhere where vehicles cannot easily go. And that definitely is not for pleasure. That definitely is for kingdom task and assignment. That is deciding that making God the reason why you live, why you walk, why you earn, why you do the things you do. Number three, it is deciding not to live for the purpose of gratifying the flesh, gratifying the flesh.
and satisfying yourself. Deciding to live, deciding not to live for the purpose of gratifying the flesh and satisfying yourself. All I want is the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, the pride of life. Me too, I have this. Me too, I have that. Me too, I have that. And you have gratified your flesh and satisfied yourself. No. No. For to me to live is Christ, not his flesh. For to me to live is Christ, not his self. Number four. It is deciding to make God's plan and pleasure your life's priority. The decision to make God's plan and pleasure your life's priority. That is what dedication is about. To make God's plan and pleasure your life's priority. You ask God questions like, Lord, am I okay? Am I doing well? Is there something, you know? Remember that song? Thank you. That is why you are choir. Come and sing it. Come and sing it. There is a song that captures what I'm saying. Is it, it is deciding to make God's pleasure and plan. Lord, what am I okay? Am I doing well? If there is anything I am not doing, it's because I'm not aware. If there is anything you want me to do and I am not doing, it's because I am not aware. I'm always ready to do. Take it from the first verse and the chorus. You don't know the tune?
The function.
Okay. Lord, I just want to let you know. Everything. Sense of direction. so I can fulfill. Third verse. When I reach the very end, on my pilgrimage in the earth, I shall look back and see how much you were involved in my life. I shall thank you for assisting me. I shall look back and see how much you were involved in my life. My shadow galagaya. Lift your voice, sing, glorify ever. Is living for God, living for Christ, deciding to make God's pleasure and plan your life's priority. Are you okay with me? Am I on the right path? Am I doing well? Lord, talk to me in the language I can understand. If I can't see vision, let me dream dreams. Let me hear your voice. Speak to me from the Bible. Any way you can talk to me, let me know what you want me to do. Take your seat. Living for God, finally, is deciding to live and exist to the point where Christ is felt and seen and heard in your life and actions. Again, it is deciding to live and exist to the point where Christ is felt, he is seen, he is heard in your life and in your actions. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Question is, who are you living for? And what are you living for? When people come around you, what do they feel? When they think of you, what do they feel? When people hear your voice, what do they feel? What occurs to people? I can feel God. I can feel Jesus' presence. Or they can feel flesh. That is why the devil has done so much damage for our generation. Making people to advertise their flesh. So that the focus is taken from the spiritual content of a person to the flesh of people. You can feel nothing. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's Christ who lives. When you come across Paul, you must feel Christ. When I was in the university, I was asking one of the young men, what are you doing here? He said, I came to contact divine presence. He came to our room. He said, I know that if I come here, I will feel God. I just came to contact divine presence. There is something here. There are people who walk into my office and they say, this place is so peaceful, so restful. It's not somewhere you want to walk away from. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Precious Redeemer. Fair as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep in my heart. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep in I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart.
In my heart.
In my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. 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 Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. And all the way to Calvary, he went for me. Jesus went for me. My Savior went for me. All the way to Calvary. For me, he died. That is our point number three. Dedication is going all the way with God. Going all the way with God. Going all the way. Why should we go all the way with God? Because he went all the way to Calvary. He went for me. Jesus went for me. My Savior went for me. All the way to Calvary. He went for me. He died to set me free. All the way, all to Calvary, he went. My Savior went. My Master went. He went for me. He died to save. Dedication is going all the way with God. That's the third point for the service and the sixth point overall. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, we saw how Abraham was called of God and he came out of his father's house. If you go all the way to verse 5, you see how Abraham went forth. Abraham took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan, he came, going all the way. What is the meaning? I will round off there. Number one, it means going the distance with God. Comma. Not a spiritual sprint, but a marathon with God. Going the distance with God. Not a spiritual sprint, but a marathon. There are those who are spiritual sprinters. They run. Before you know it, their race has finished. Have you finished already? You backslide. You were on fire 5 years ago, only 5 years. There are people who have been on fire for 30 years, 40 years. Your own fire lasted for 5 years. Going the distance with God. Number two, it means refusal to slow down or give up on the way. In our journey with God, you are not slowing down. You are not giving up. You know Ruth, an upper, they followed Naomi. In Ruth chapter 1 verse 14 to 18. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. An upper kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. When I was in the university, I made a very brutal decision. Like this. Ruth said, where you go, I will go. I'm following you. I'm following your God till the end. I told God, I said, if everybody decides to go to hell, I will make up, I have made up my mind that I will make heaven. I said to God, if at the end all I am left with is a singlet, maybe because I gave everything off, I will pursue you with that singlet. I will follow you with that singlet. Refusal to slow down. Refusal to give up on the way. Dedication to God. All the way. The fire they saw yesterday, they are seeing it today, they are seeing it tomorrow. Number three. It is the refusal to pack on the basis of conditions or situations. Refusal to pack. Going all the way with God, you refuse to pack. Yes, the word is pack on the basis of situations or conditions. What do I mean? People pack for various reasons. Some pack because they failed. Some pack because they succeeded. They pack beside failure. Oh, I have failed. I can't go on with God anymore. Oh, I have succeeded. What is the use? I used to pray when there was no money. Now I have all the things I need. What's the use of prayer? Some pack when there is apparent victory, and some pack when there is seeming defeat. I say seeming because if you are a child of God, you will never be truly defeated. It seems like there is a defeat. They packed. He said you are of God and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Refusal to pack on the basis of condition. Did you know what happened to Abraham? Abraham's father packed. Abraham refused to pack. Look at their difference. Genesis 11:31. That was. And Terah, that's Abraham's father, took Abraham his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from all of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and packed. He was going to Canaan. He came to Haran. He packed. What happened in the next verse? Where he packed, there he died. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. I don't know what happened to Terah. The Bible made it clear that where he was going was Canaan. That was his original destiny, which his son fulfilled later. But he came to Haran, he packed, he died. Now, compare it with Genesis 12 and in verse 5. See the story. Similar stories, different outcome. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife. Sarah was also on the first journey. And Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the soul that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan, they came. Is it not Canaan I'm going? I am not stopping until I reach Canaan. I will never, never stop my journey halfway. Halfway until I reach my home. 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 I will never stop my journey halfway, halfway until I reach my home, until I reach my home, until I reach my home, ooh, until I reach my home. Look at your neighbor by yourself. Say, no parking. Say, it's no parking. I am not parking for anything. Not for failure. Not for success. Not for apparent victory. Not for seeming defeat. I'm parking for nothing. Forward never. Backward never. Number four. What does it mean to go all the way? It means keeping the mark of a high calling in view. The mark of a high calling. Keeping the mark of a high calling in view. Philippians 3:14. Keeping them. He said, I press towards the mark of a high calling. There is something in front of me there. There is a heavenly home. It's in view. And I am going all the way with God. Keeping the mark of the high calling in view. And finally, it means refusal to stop until you see the master face to face. Refusal to stop until you see the master face to face. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1 and 2, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet, beloved, now are we the sons of God, And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I said to you, until you see Christ face to face, there is still one more step to go. Stand up on your feet. One more step. The journey continues. Until we see him face to face, then we shall be as he is. If you haven't seen him face to face, there is one more step to take. One more move to make. There is. Lift up your two hands. And Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Be upstanding, everybody. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me.
You're an holy.
You're an holy.
Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing.
Lord, I'm willing
to be a sanctuary. Your hands very sharply and appreciate God for the message today. Appreciate him for his word. Father, thank you for the intensity of your word. Thank you for the sharpness of your word. Thank you for the impact of your word. We appreciate you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. Thank you. Only you can speak like this. Thank you for life-changing word. In Jesus' precious name. Today is the seventh day of our fasting. And seven stands for perfection. Psalm 138 and in verse 8. The Lord will perfect all that concerneth me. You are going to lift up your voice and say after me. Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your goodness.
For your goodness.
And mercy.
And mercy.
Thank you.
Thank you
for this 7 days
of the fast.
Thank you,
thank you
for perfecting
all that concerns
my life. My life,
my life
in this season. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise. Open your mouth and pray. Pray, 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 pray.
Jesus' precious name.
One of the impact of dedication is distinction.
Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18. And he said, then you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him. There is always a difference between the dedicated and the non-dedicated. Father, help me with grace and oil to experience the distinction that comes from dedication. Lift your voice and say, Father,
Father,
I ask you
for your fresh grace
and oil of dedication today that will cause me to stand out in life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Again, Father, I ask you for fresh oil and grace of dedication that will cause me to stand out in life, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Jesus' precious name. In Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 17, we see how dedication brings preservation. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Would you lift up your voice and say after me, say, Father,
I ask
for your fresh grace and oil of dedication that will enhance my preservation in 2024. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father,
I
ask for your fresh grace and oil of dedication that will enhance my preservation in 2024. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray.
Jesus' precious name. Matthew 6:33 say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Dedication brings additions. It brings increase. Lift your voice and say, Father,
I ask
for your fresh grace and oil of dedication that will guarantee additions in my life in 2024. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father,
I ask
for your fresh grace and oil of dedication that will guarantee additions in my life in 2024. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and speak to God.
Precious name.
Lift your hands and give him the thanks this moment. I am so excited that messages like this is coming, and everybody among us globally is receiving this same instruction at the same time. I see Lusaka, Zambia, Nairobi, Kenya, Douala, everywhere. I am trusting the Lord that this will spark a revival of true spirituality in our lives, in our families, in our nations. So I'd like you to take the next 2 minutes. It's you and God. I have heard, Lord, about following hard after you. Father, help me. Let nothing come between me and you. I have heard about living for you. It's possible that I have been living majorly for myself. I ask for your mercy to live for you. I have heard about going all the way with you, Lord. I pray that nothing stops me on the way. On this journey with you, open your mouth and pray. Speak to God on any other thing that you want to speak to God about. Open your mouth and pray and talk to God.
Be upstanding, hands lifted. Anywhere you are this morning, you've been touched. Massive. We are going to have the communion shortly and then have the anointing released. You've been touched by the message and you know you need to hand over your life to Christ. You need your sins forgiven. You need today to mark a new day for you. Wherever you are, pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and rush to the front quickly before the communion and before the anointing. While they are doing that, the communion stewards can also step forward so that we can do all at the same time. And then, don't just receive the communion and hold. I'll give you the count of 10. Move up a bit. At the count of 20, be on your way forward. 1, come surrender your life to Jesus. 2, battling with an addiction, you are battling with a negative lifestyle, you are battling with something you are not happy with, and you want God to break it in your life, you quickly run forward here, and I'll give you the count of 7 again. You are saying, Pastor, I want today to mark a new day for me, and I want the addiction broken. Quickly run forward.
Thank you. and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, say it louder, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, no turning back. From today I go forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I declare your freedom and liberty. The God who forgive your iniquities also heal your diseases. And I declare you whole in Jesus' name.